Progressive Murder Mystery Podcasts welcome you to Who Killed Donald T. Johnson? A journey through a man's life, through the perspective of eight people from around the world who claim to have killed him.
There are many good men and women in the world, and many bad. A few are evil. They led men to war and to death, and yet remain unscathed. And there are others, who walk among us as heroes to be admired, who display charm, charisma, wealth, and power, with lifestyles to envy. They can appear as good, but then entice and entrap and destroy, because they can. For many years, such a man has engendered friends in high places, built his own empires, and destroyed others. He has been admired, feared, and hated. This is a story about him. His name is Donald T. Johnson. But rather than ask, who is Donald T. Johnson? Billionaire? Financier? Property developer? Gambler? Money launderer? Sex trafficker? Pedophile? We may now ask, who killed Donald T. Johnson?
Episode 1. Who is Donald T? The boy, and then the man. 8 excerpts from 8 episodes. Donald Terence Johnson was born in Sydney, Australia in 1950. He was the only child to survive after 5 pregnancies and therefore spoilt by his parents. This was one of those rare moments when he was happy. He must have just got his own way. His father, Michael Johnson, was a stockbroker who had made his money in land developments in third world countries. But he banked the proceeds in Switzerland under a false name. He was no fool. After all, you never knew when these development deals would fail. The family lived in Toorak, a wealthy suburb of Melbourne, where DJ attended Arrowsmith, an elite private school. He was not a good scholar, and along with 2 of his friends, Geoffrey Epsom and Wang Ho, he was suspended in 1968 for cheating at end-of-year exams. However, all 3 boys were allowed to come back to finish their schooling when all 3 fathers paid hefty donations towards the school.
Yes, Johnson here. Who? What's he done now? I see. Well, I'm sure we can find a way around it. How about a sizable donation to the school?
Johnson Minor learned a valuable lesson from this incident. DJ enjoyed his gap year in England. He stayed with Geoffrey Epsom and his family in their Mayfair home. As Mr. Epsom was involved with the Miss World pageant, both boys were invited to act as escorts for some of the beautiful young finalists. But another incident, this time at an out-of-control teenage party, meant that Donald had to leave England rather quickly. His father enrolled him in a law degree at Loyola Marymount University in the USA, known locally for its high enrollment of wealthy students and low academic achievements, and even lower moral standards. Although he partied a great deal, he managed to graduate with some rather stunning results.
Hello, Loyola Marymount. Michael Johnson here. I would like to make a sizable donation to the university.
Donald had now learned another important lesson. He was on his way. A few more creative testimonials bought him a position with a reasonably reputable stockbroker as a junior assistant. He rapidly became an options trader, using his friends and father's influence to gain wealthy clients and help with their tax mitigation. Unfortunately, within the year, he was asked to leave due to accusations of insider trading. On his father's death, he received a large inheritance, which coincided with his decision to travel again, and he soon managed to mix in powerful business circles. En route, he met up with his old school friends, Jeffrey Epsom and Wang Ho, and in 1980, they formed a joint enterprise, opening their own consultancy, JEH Trading, and he began to encourage former clients to his organization. He was very successful at regaining money from their debtors, although he often did this in a rather heavy-handed manner.
Donald Johnson? Nah, never met the guy. Don't know him at all. But of course, I know of him. Well, you would have to be dumb, deaf and blind not to have heard of him. He hits the headlines in some scan or another every so often, and while it seems legit, behind the scenes it's a different story. Christ, the man had no conscience. We all know that.
And this is where the story really starts. Donald Johnson was a man who enjoyed mixing business with pleasure, which found him in Perth, Australia, in 1983, ready to exploit the spectacular win of the America's Cup yacht race. He mixed with the businessmen associated with the yachting circles, and this in turn brought him into the company of beautiful young girls. The younger, the better. Best Served Cold by Steve Haynes.
Good evening, Major Blackwell. Mrs. Blackwell. Not often we get a mother-son team in here.
Why are we here?
Frankly, you, Major. You are located at the scene of the murder of Donald T. Johnson, and of course, Plod being Plod, takes your name and runs checks. Naturally, when one of Her Majesty's Colonial Special Forces troopers visits, you're flagged at the border.
I'd email him the details, and eventually I'd get an email back asking if I could reply back his regret.
That all changed when I got the invitation. Mum emailed me immediately, and as luck would have it, I was in Australia, debriefing from my last job.
He turned back to me. I could see it had hurt him. That made me smile. He was confused, and I said to him, "And now my son has killed you." And I walked off.
By 1988, DJ was back in Australia for the three-month Expo 88 World Fair extravaganza. He had a great time, but left a few people rather unhappy with his conduct. Bullseye by J.C. Leslie.
Have the embassy boys arrived yet?
No, sir, but they're on their way. Warned it might be a while. Lots of yahooing still going on, by way of celebration.
Silly sods. I wonder if they'll still be as keen when the national tax bill comes in.
Yes, sir. I heard it'd be close to £50 million.
Yeah, and if the rest of the family are anything to go by, it will only last a couple of years. Then the taxpayer will be paying for a divorce. But what about her? Is she in the interview room?
Yes, sir. I was just about to take her through the preliminaries.
Okay, but no coercion. We don't want to be accused of creating a bloody internet incident.
I think that's already happened, sir. The media are having a feeding frenzy.
They always do when that goon appears. What's his condition, by the way?
I'm afraid I haven't been updated. Nearly dead at the crime scene. It didn't sound good.
I guess that depends on your opinion of him. Okay, let's start the ball rolling.
Can you just answer my question?
I came for the hunt. I'd heard there would be a royal hunt. I know fox hunts are illegal, but I'm told some of the psychopathic narcissists attending the royal wedding wanted a bit of flesh.
With the Hong Kong changeover looming in 1997, all three partners began to invest in small gambling casinos in Macau, especially as a new casino was opening up in Melbourne. This meant that trade also opened up in legitimate circles, which was a perfect cover for money laundering. An added bonus was that local poverty in Macau meant that pretty young Asian girls could be enticed into the business as receptionists and croupiers. But of course, if they were really pretty, they could be recruited for other industries. Minnows and Big Fish by Leah Lin.
My name is Li Hua. I was not as pretty as my friend Ming Mei, which is why I am alive today.
I am Wang Wei, son of Wang Weijiang. My father was very rich, had 4 wives and 14 children. I am a 10th son, so had a job of protecting my older brothers. It was a life of privilege, so long as I always observed family tradition.
My name, Bao. I was the 2nd son with 4 younger sisters. My job was to provide food and shelter for the family. That, too, was a family tradition. After all, I had spent many years learning my craft. I had been a dedicated employee, but no more.
And I have been a dedicated family member, but no more.
Another enterprise DTJ had found useful was the gradual accumulation of small media outlets throughout the USA. Starting with print, then moving into television and cable, he would buy into small companies, use their advertising power to advance his other business deals, expand them, and at an opportune time, disband or sell. Many large and many small newspapers became caught in the mergers. But with the turn of the new century, it was apparent that the newspaper business was dying. And that wasn't the only thing. Truth of the Matter by Joy Duck.
Hi, y'all. Erasmus Law here. Just a-sittin' with a few friends in my favorite spot out in the veranda a while, until those damn mosquitoes get too pesky. See, we're all catching up on our regional newspaper, La Verdad. Passes the time when you're working on that Guatemalan vacation, huh? Take care, y'all, don't get too burnt in that climate change sun now. That headline's a cracker, ain't it? Big shot bites the bullet at royal wedding. Someone sure got burnt there. Yeah, pretty big story. And I'll bet you didn't know there are connections right here in sleepy old Puerto San Jose. Donald T. Johnson was a man of many faces and places. Not all of them on the level, if you know what I mean. After all them hackneyed, what's the definition of a consultant? Someone you gives a watch to, then pays them to tell you the time. Jokes had come and gone. The fear set in, so I'm told. And it turned out that Trixie could think even less. because she decided at that very minute to hand DJ a glass of wine.
Here you are, darling. A spoonful of medicine helps the boss man go down.
The 3-inch stilettos on a woman who is half cut, holding a brimming glass of vino, is not a good combination.
Anticipating the financial downturn of 2009, and with insider trading knowledge, all three directors of JEH Trading made a good deal of money traveling the world in private jets between Asia, England, and Europe. DJ even took an extended tour of Iceland, acting as a benefactor to the tourist industry. As usual, it seemed that he walked away from it a good deal wealthier than the money he had invested. And as usual, anybody who got in his way suffered badly. But on this occasion, he should have followed the old adage that if you want a job done properly, you should do it yourself. Hot Gossip in a Cold Climate by Brianda Cross.
Hello, Golden Dian, and welcome to Radio Ultra Saga 99.4 and your weekly date with me, your host, Gunnar Olafur, and a special edition of Hot Gossip in a Cold Climate. Today's mystery guest will be known as Sigrun, and as you will find out later, she has a good reason to stay unknown. But she insists she wants her story to be heard, so here it is. Hot Gossip, true, false, or in between. You decide. What you hear is what we heard. No cuts, no edits.
Could you bring the microphone closer? Yeah, that's right. Maybe we could have you, like a voice test. Could you say something?
What do you want me to say?
Oh, anything. I just want a voice test.
Oh, I see. Mary had a little lamb, the butcher chopped it dead. Now Mary brings her lamb to school between two lumps of bread. How's that?
Good, good. Just a little closer. Yeah.
Like this? Alright.
Yeah, okay, we're rolling. So, today we have Sigrun in the studio, who has an unbelievable story about a high-profile man, who we will simply call DTJ at the moment. And let me ask you, Sigrun, why do you not want us to mention his name?
Because he would have me killed if I did. I just wanted to say goodbye to my friends and family that live here. And then I'm not going to say where I'm going.
And that is indeed where we leave Sigrun. Listeners, that interview was completed just a few days ago, and yes, we paid Sigrun for her fare, not to London, but to a place where she can have further facial surgery. As promised, we have not cut or made edits to Sigrun's story, so it is up to you to decide. If you have been simply listening to Hot Gossip, or if the story is true. I am your host, Gunnar Olafs, inviting you to share this story between friends and family until we meet up again next week for more.
On Radio Saga 9.4.
Sadly, there were times when an employee just wasn't ruthless enough and got caught up in the dirty side of the business. And while DJ could walk away unscathed, his employee could not. But employees have families, and families can often be like elephants and never forget. The Escort by Jill Simpson Korn.
Know what amazes me? I look up and down this train and there isn't one single person who's well dressed. I suppose it might be different in First. But it's not, though. Shops full of beautiful things and nobody in this godforsaken country ever looks half decent. Only the people with real money and taste. And me. Well, if Stella keeps paying me what I'm owed and the introductions keep coming, I'll get there eventually. At least I look the part. He's quite cute. Bet I can make him look at me. Glance up, meet his eye, look away again. And I bet he turns back for a second look. But I don't. You're not in my league, mate. I remember how proud I was that my dad was a policeman. Even though my friend said if he didn't have a uniform, he wasn't a real one. I remember you saying to me that even though you didn't wear a uniform, your job was the same as any policeman's. It was to look after people and make sure that bad people didn't harm them. And that people who did harm others could very well be punished if the law said so. It all sounded so easy the way you said it, Dad. Like you could make everything all right with the law on your side. Didn't quite work out like that though, did it? So, perhaps I have to go about it a different way. And just make sure we don't get caught. Here I am in my own confessional. Forgive me, Father. I wonder if he would. Not this time, I bet. I'm looking in the mirror and thinking the salon made an amazing job of me. Funny, really, how all that makeup can make you look like you're hardly wearing any. If I open my eyes wide, I look as though I've only just changed out of my school uniform. And my hair? I'm classy and posh and very, very young. I'll get the dress on in a minute. So modest and suggestive at the same time, I think I can manage to get Donald T. Johnson just a bit hot under the collar.
By this time, it was apparent that DJ was particularly fond of gambling and girls. And what better place to combine his two passions than in France? The casinos and showgirls. It was a perfect marriage. But as the girls got younger, his employees got angrier. And, well, it turned out that the smart ones knew just a little too much about his personal affairs. The French Connection by Brianda Cross.
It was the combination of those two, the Follies and Casinos, that brought me and Claude together. I had been a dresser at the Folies back in 1995 when their hit review Femme, Femme, Femme was playing to packed houses, so I was part of the glamour without being glamorous.
Yes, Claude supplied the names and I supplied the transport. I had been employed as a chauffeur for a number of years, and now I was picking up girls and taking them to wherever the party was being held. I was young myself, and it took me a while to realize that many times this was against the wishes, and by the time I did, I was being paid a great deal of money, and preferred to look the other way.
Giselle was a good, bright student, a little on the quiet side. She had few friends. She was in my grade 9 class right up to the time she dropped out, just before the end of year exams. Naturally, I followed it up with the education department, and I believe they contacted her mother. But her mother said she was legally able to leave school.
They told me of his condition. They said there was no hope for his recovery. Only a matter of time before he would simply waste away. He had no means of support other than begging. And I was barely able to support myself and my two boys. I had just buried my daughter, and soon would be doing the same for my husband.
It has long been established as a working man's pub.
A working man's pub was perfect for a man like me. I had always worked hard, but the last few hours had given me a sense of achievement I had never felt before.
I felt as if a huge weight had been lifted. I flew back to Paris, Adrienne, and a new life.
Loyal employees can bear a grudge for many years and not necessarily plot revenge. But if an opportunity should arise, they may take advantage of the situation, and their loyalty may diminish very quickly. It's a case of crooks of a feather flock together. Danny Carver's Story by David Pollard.
Don Johnson has many enemies, but as he's found out, it only takes one to ensure his end. And now he's lying on a mortuary slab. But just who did it? Was it one of the many enemies? Or was it closer to home? It's gone midnight, and we're in one of Don Johnson's safe house apartments. This one is in Clapham, near the Common.
You've made yourself at home quick enough.
You had your own key then.
The body's not even stiff and yet here you are.
Someone has to make sure the valuables are safe.
You heard then.
Bad news travels fast in this town. Were you there?
When he fell from the roof garden. Or was he pushed? I was there. Close enough to touch, close enough to feel the draught as he toppled over the parapet.
So, you saw?
Not who did it. There was a crowd around him. Saw his body, though, crumpled on the pavement 6 floors below.
Are you sure it was him?
The thing on the pavement. Same build as Dom, wearing the same suit. You know, the one. The one he was so fond of, Prince of Wales check. The head, the face, just pulp.
You've really dropped yourself in it, son. You are up to your neck. I did not expect you to off him like that. Just put some serious frighteners on him. Well, Greek barber gave you up as soon as they asked him. Rule one, never involve civilians. They're unreliable. And now you've got every malt in Soho looking for you.
When you run a business, you need a right-hand man or woman who you can rely on. They need to be competent and sometimes ruthless. Fortunately, DJ had a few in his employ that were both, for a while. But while competency and ruthlessness may continue, the loyalty can run out eventually. And then, well, we're really not sure what will or has happened. Spider Baby by Julie Hoverson.
I should begin by saying I haven't killed Mr. Big yet.
I'm not quite finished with him. You know who I mean. The big entrepreneur, real estate mogul, sadist and scumbag rapist. The pseudonym suits him. It suits me, too. I've spent a third of my life making his life easy and driving him mad. And staring him right in the face the whole time.
So, why do you call him Mr. Big? Why not use his real name?
Mom called him that. She only told me which one he was on her deathbed when she made me swear I would get him. Mr. Big just sounds right.
Oh.
And, of course, depersonalization. Easier to kill someone if you don't think of them as a real person.
There was one common thread throughout DJ's life. It was women and girls. He liked to have a beautiful young girl in his bed and a good-looking woman on his arm. On rare occasions, they may be the same. But of course, there are many other men who are looking for the same combination. The Last Call by Patty Cassidy and Deborah Weiss. Where did you meet?
Over whiskeys at the Last Call on the Lower East Side. Any further downtown and it would have been in the water. It was just after Patrick's Day and everybody was in a bad mood. Erin was going bra.
Am I too late to join in the fun, or can anyone throw a punch around here?
Be my guest. Just watch out for the redhead. He's half blind. You never know where his fist will land, nor does he. You can let me buy you a drink.
How about a Jameson's? No rocks. And some peanuts. I'm just crazy about peanuts.
It was a March night after Patrick's Day again. We were at the Last Call, sort of like an anniversary, you could say. I thought it might be a good time to talk about where we could go together. We were down in drinks so raw they could eat the paint off a Mercedes Benz. Nothing new there, just the usual crowd of winos, whores, and off-duty cops. Until he walked in. She was in the John when he arrived. He headed straight for Betsy the Bomber.
Anything happened while I was gone?
Not much. Saturday night slumlord off to the starboard.
Oh, God, not with Betsy. The guy's clumsy as hell. Looks like money, though. She might go for it. Want to bet?
20-1 he loses.
You're on. Looks like you win. Oh, my God. It's...
Then he turned around full face. She was hooked the minute she laid eyes on him.
There are grave concerns for the safety of businessman tycoon Donald T. Johnson, who has been missing for the last 3 days. He was last seen hosting a rooftop party at his Portland Place residence on Thursday evening, where he appeared to be in good spirits. 200 guests were in attendance, including members of the Melbourne Crown Casino Board and various board members from his Macau-based casinos, including business associates from Las Vegas. It was first thought that he may have left the country by his private jet, but investigations have confirmed that the jet is still in its hangar at Heathrow. Investigations will continue.
You have been listening to Introducing the Man Preview, episode 1 of a series of 12 episodes where we ask the question, who killed Donald T. Johnson? There will be 10 independent episodes from 10 script writers from around the world, followed by a final episode where you will be invited to decide when, where, why, and how DJ was killed. And of course, who actually committed the murder? For more information, please go to our dedicated website, www.progressivemurdermysterypodcasts.com, where you will find the dates of each episode to be published. You will also find details of the 40 international and talented performers who appear in each episode, and links to their works. We hope you will enjoy our progressive murder mystery as much as we have in providing it. Thank you!